You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Talking with God.
Everybody, I want to welcome you to the conversation. My name is Adam. Regardless of where you are and what you are doing, I hope and pray this finds you well. Things are fantastic here in beautiful, sunny Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Genuinely, things are really, really good. My home life is good. Family is good. Church here at Embrace is in just a wonderful, great season. I'm so grateful for that. So life is just really, really good. Not to mention this coming week, my wife and I and kids, we are headed we're headed down south to Arizona. My parents are spending their first winter in Arizona, so we're so excited about going to see them. And I'm excited about warm temperatures. And when I say warm temperatures, anything above 15 degrees will be warm temperatures. My plan is to get off the airplane and then to try and get as much sun as I possibly can, maybe a really nice sunburn. I'm just excited about getting away. The kids are pumped, so that's what I'm excited about. One quick word before we get into the interview today. I want to challenge you to take 5 minutes today, just 5 minutes, and that might involve you shutting off this podcast that you're listening to, but I want to encourage you to take 5 minutes just to be still and shut everything off. Like, put your cell phone away where you can't hear it vibrate, you can't feel it vibrate. Just put it away. Find 5-10 minutes. I got 4 kids, so what's your excuse, right? And so find 5 minutes, be quiet, shut everything off, all the noise, just shut it off, and just pray this: God, I'm listening. Would you please speak? God, I'm listening. Would you please speak? 5-10 minutes. If this is new for you, it's going to be hard. You'll be looking at your watch after 30 seconds, but I just want to encourage you just to be quiet and be still and allow God to speak. Silence, there's something about silence that breathes life into our soul. And so it's so important to do this. You may not hear anything from God in those 5 or 10 minutes, and it may even feel like you've wasted 5 or 10 minutes, but I just want to challenge you. Seriously, today, right now, 5 or 10 minutes of just quiet. God, I'm listening. Would you please speak now? That's my word of encouragement. Silence is something that I've been trying to put more and more of that and have more of that time throughout my day because I need it. I'm constantly going. I'm constantly running. My schedule is just kind of one thing after the next. And so that 5 or 10 minutes of just giving God the ability to speak has been such a life-giving thing to me. That's the quick encouragement. In today's episode, I sat down with Casey O'Brien. If you don't know this guy's story, I want to tell you his story. Maybe if you would, during this or after this, go search Casey O'Brien Game Day and watch. It's like a 6-minute clip that kind of gives you the full gamut of his story. I'd maybe encourage you to bring some Kleenexes with you because it's powerful. Casey is the placeholder for the Minnesota Gophers. Now, placeholders don't get much attention. It's like, why are we talking about a placeholder, the guy who holds the ball for the kicker to kick the field goal? And yet Casey's story is insanely powerful. He's battled cancer 4 different times, overcoming crazy obstacles. This past year, he got to play the first time in Division I football. I know you'll be encouraged. He just talks about overcoming adversity. He talks about keeping a positive attitude and also talks about God and how all that combined has really gotten him to this place. Whether you battled cancer, you've gone through a trial or hardship, I know you'll be encouraged. So as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation.
Well, I'm here with Casey, and Casey is someone we've never crossed paths before. I was just telling him before we got on, he's someone, I think it was on College Game Day that I heard his story for the first time and was just encouraged by him and encouraged by who he is. I watched last night, this might be bizarre for you to hear, Casey. I rewatched it. I got home and before going in the house, I was like, gosh, I'm going to rewatch this clip. And I got emotional in my garage watching your story in the most manly way possible, but it was awesome. But
right.
No, Casey, just really honored to have you on the podcast today.
I appreciate you having me on the show. This is something I've been looking forward to doing, and I'm excited to get to it.
Yeah. So Casey, for the person who who doesn't know your story, if you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing where are you from? I know cancer is a part of your story, so you can share that as well, but just kind of the high points of who is Casey.
I am from St. Paul, Minnesota. Grew up going to a Catholic school. My mom's a Catholic grade school teacher. Grew up as a person who loved to play sports. Was never really a big reading guy. I was more of a guy who wanted to be playing sports at all times. And whatever I could play, I would play. So I was playing four or five sports in the summer and always moving and always doing something. And then my freshman year of high school, I was playing freshman football and was having some pain in my left knee when I was dropping back a pass. I was a quarterback. And it wasn't getting any better, And none of the doctors could really figure out what was wrong. And then we ended up going to get an MRI, and they found a tumor the size of a softball on the inside of my left knee. So was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a rare form of bone cancer, when I was 13 years old. And started chemo, underwent about 9 months of treatment. Had a surgery where they completely replaced my left knee and put in 2 cadaver bones. It was like an 8.5-hour surgery. And then in the last couple of years, I've battled back and forth with it, just coming back in small spots in my lungs and having surgery and chemo to get those taken care of. But standing here today still, 7 years later, beating the odds.
More about that. I was even in the interview, I think it was your dad talking, your mom and dad, gosh, if you don't want to be sappy, don't listen to anything they say. I was like, I need no more mom and dad clips because I'm crying. But your dad was talking about just even the survival rate from your specific form of cancer. It sounds like if you get it once, it's like, okay, this is a big deal. It's definitely life-threatening. But if you get it twice, things definitely go down. And you've had it 4 times. Is that correct?
Yep. I've had my fair share. But, you know, positive attitude and keeping a strong faith has led me through it.
Even the most recent diagnosis that you've had, Casey, with it, how have you processed through that? And maybe for that person who's got the diagnosis, we just recently even had someone in the church just find out a really horrible diagnosis. What's your encouragement to that person, and what have you found to bring you through that?
I'll tell you that you're okay to take one day to kind of sulk and be down and everything like that, but then after that one day passes, you gotta move forward with a positive attitude. Your body's gonna respond to your attitude, and so if you make a decision to have a positive attitude, you're going to give yourself the best chance possible, and then God will take care of the rest.
So that's kind of the cancer part of things. Now share how sports, so you had the diagnosis, major like surgery on you. What happened sports wise from there for you? Did you continue to play throughout high school? Did you have to take years off? Share that kind of thing too.
When I had the surgery that I had, I played hockey and football and lacrosse at the time. So 3 pretty physical and contact sports. And when I had that surgery, I was told that all contact sports were out of the picture because I had to replace knee, and I couldn't take the chance of someone running into me or something bad happening to that knee. So I ended up taking my sophomore year off of football, but I knew that I didn't want that to be the end of my football career. And so I sat down and looked at ways that I could get back on a football field. And there's 2 positions in football that are not supposed to get hit. And that's the kicker and the placeholder. And I couldn't kick very well, so I decided to see if I could placehold it all. And something that I put a lot of time and effort into, and I've gotten to be pretty good at.
So your junior year is when you came back high school-wise and began to be the placeholder?
Yep.
What did your coach, was that kind of like, how did that all happen?
My coach really embraced it at the time. He said, if you're the best that we got, then you're going to play. And I turned out to be the best that we had and played in my first game on that first game of the year, and then checked in for chemo that following morning.
Oh, my gosh. And was your parents a little hesitant at all on that, or not really?
I would say my mom was more than my dad. Obviously, you're taking a lot of risk every time that you go out there, because if you drop a snap, you're okay to get hit. So definitely taking a risk every time I do it. But the risk that I've been willing to take, and it's definitely been a part of the reason why I'm still here, because I have something to look forward to.
Yeah. So high school finishes up. Are you still thinking like, hey, I want to play college sports? Is that a little bit of a pipe dream? Kind of share even that. So you graduate. What happens from there?
I knew that I wanted to play college football, but it was more a matter of, is there going to be someone who's going to give me a chance? There isn't really another story like mine in college football. So I didn't know how coaches would kind of respond to that. And I didn't want to go out there and just stand on the sideline. I wanted to go somewhere where if I was the best that we had, then I was going to have a chance to play. And within my getting the chance to meet and talk to Coach Fleck and learn about him and who he is, it sounded to me like that was going to be it and that he was going to give me a chance to play when the time was right. And so I decided to come to Minnesota and play for the state that I grew up in.
Oh, that's insane. So can you, like, you just kind of approached him and said, hey, can I try out for the team? Hey, can I do that? Like, I don't even honestly know how that works. Like, share that part of things.
So he got hired here at Minnesota in my winter of my senior year of high school. And my story had kind of grown in the local area. And I guess my story got to him when someone said, you should at least talk to this kid. He wants to play college football. And then when we got the chance to sit down with each other, we kind of just hit it off.
That's awesome.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel to their sphere of influence, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the Conversation podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their Pardon the Mess podcast, made for those navigating the messiness of parenting. And parenting is messy. Pardon the Mess seeks to equip parents with trusted biblical guidance, helping them to raise their children with strength and joy in a changing and often challenging culture. With guests like Bob Goff, Jamie Ivey, and Priscilla Schreier, this podcast is for just about everyone. You can sign up for weekly Pardon the Mess blogs and subscribe to the Pardon the Mess podcast episodes at pardonthemess.org.
Currently, like today, like what year are you school-wise?
I am a redshirt junior football-wise, and I am a senior in school graduating in 3.5 years.
Okay. And so this year, what it, I believe is the first time you got on the field. Was it against Rutgers?
It was on the road at Rutgers.
Just kind of share that if you want to, just knowing that you have a chance of being on the field, share all that.
Yeah. I had traveled for the first time all year for that game. We were 7-0 going into that game, I believe. And I knew that if we got up on them, I was going to have a chance. So I prepared like I was going to play all week. And then we got up in the fourth quarter and ended up scoring a touchdown. And Coach Fleck turned around. And lucky enough, I was standing there ready to go. So he said, Casey, you're up. And I jogged out there and played 3 snaps in that game and then 3 snaps the following week against Maryland.
Crazy. And just even – again, if you want to just have a sappy moment, I'll share a link in with the podcast to where you can watch the clip. But you coming off the field and hugging your coach, do you want to share even about that relationship? Because it's clear it's more than just, hey, a guy got on my team, got on the field. Like, you can tell there's a connection there. Do you want to share about your relationship with him?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of just started out as coach and player, but I've battled back and forth with cancer while playing for Coach Fleck, and he's been there the whole way. And there was a moment that I think that we both had been looking forward to and weren't sure if it would ever happen. And to have that happen and to get to share the moment together was pretty special.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. I just have a few questions left for you, Casey. In the video that I was referencing, like you said in your coach's ear, it was worth it. It was all worth
it. Yeah.
And I think no matter what we're facing, whether it's cancer, whether it's pursuing a dream, a goal, I'm amazed by how many times I was even talking with my son last night. He has just a passion for worship and leading worship. And I said, you should try to like invite some of your classmates to be a part of your worship team, like just to build it and stuff. And he's like, gosh, he's like, Dad, but you know that I don't like talking with random people. And mm-hmm. I don't like putting myself out there. And I said, buddy, I am constantly putting myself out of my comfort zone. I feel like almost daily, I feel like I'm stepping out of what I want to do and what's comfortable. And yet I'm amazed what God can do when we do that. When we just step out of what's safe and normal and expected, it's amazing what God can do. And I just told him, I said, buddy, the coolest things that has happened in my life has been those moments that I put myself out there, that it's like, gosh, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like people might think I'm crazy for doing this, but share about like just what you've learned through just pursuing this dream that maybe even did seem far-fetched. Like share that a little bit if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that I had a lot of people who kind of, when I said that I wanted to play college football, were kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And then I would be like, no, like I'm gonna make it happen. And so it comes down to a lot of belief in yourself. And at the end of the day, if you believe that you can make it happen, then there's nobody really stopping you after that. So I would tell you that if you can believe, then you got a shot.
Just go for it. Like, can I even more specific, was there any advice that you'd tell somebody? Like, just like what, how do you, okay, so you believe in yourself. Like, is there anything else that you're like, practically speaking, like what could I do today to actually pursue something like it? That's kind of a random question.
I would tell you off the top of my head, I would say the hardest thing to do is to start. Once you start the process, then you can move forward. But so many people are too scared to start, whether it be because they don't want to put themselves out there, or they're embarrassed, or they're scared, whatever that might be. You got to start, because once you start, then the process is moving and you got to keep going. But so what I would just tell you, to just whatever that dream or that thing you want to do is, you just start.
No, so good. So good. Okay. Second to last question. What do you feel like through all of this cancer, football, whatever, what do you feel like you've learned about? And there's probably a bunch of things, but is there anything specific about your, like just God and what you've learned about him through this process? Has there been anything in that area?
The biggest thing that I've learned is that you just have to keep your faith and the trust, because there's going to be times where things don't make sense, but then there's going to be times that like I said, that become worth it. And, you know, I've had a lot of times where it doesn't make sense that my cancer has come back or been put in a bad situation, but then there's been a lot of really, really happy times that I've been lucky to have. So, I mean, trust at the end of the day is the biggest thing that I've learned, and just follow the path that he's set for you.
That's wonderful. Casey, last question. I know you got bracelets like when you play that really are different kids in the children's hospital that are battling cancer. If you just want to share about that, and is there one specific kid that even our listeners could be praying for today? Like, if you just want to tell us how the bracelet thing started, and then also, is there one specific kid that just people listening today can be praying for, and just a little bit of their story?
The bracelets kind of started with when I was first diagnosed. There was a family friend of ours who made bracelets for me, and so I put mine on, and then as I was going through my treatments and everything like that and meeting people in the hospital, I would ask them to wear theirs just to represent them, and so that they, when they see me on the field, they can say, well, I'm out there with them too. So every time that I get the chance to meet somebody new in the hospital, I would try to ask for a bracelet and add it to the list of people that are out there with me, because I know that I'm not alone out there.
That's awesome. And is there one specific kid that comes to mind for you, or no?
Yeah, there is. There's a little girl named Megan who just turned 11 years old, and she's battling the same type of cancer that I've been through, and she means a lot to me. We've gotten to be pretty close, and she's a very, very positive girl, and she's battling a little bit right now, so she needs our prayers, and she needs everybody to think about her and to give her some positive energy.
That's awesome, and I really would encourage anybody who's hearing this, if you would, I'd be so grateful even once you're done listening, if you'd take a minute or two just to pray for Megan and also to pray for Casey, that'd be fantastic. And one of the things I thought was so powerful is there's some of the bracelets that you're wearing. The kid is passed on, is no longer with us. And what a, just a cool thing, Casey, just the person you are, and even carrying on the legacy of who they are is pretty fantastic.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Casey, that's all I have. Just really, really grateful to have you on today's podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation, and thank you to all the listeners who tuned in, and keep praying for us, and keep praying for anyone else out there who might be battling some hard times.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.